you thing with Carson Reed 3 or 4 years ago, and a guy did it, and I bought his book. I don't remember what the book said. I didn't haven't had time to look at it. But one thing he talked about is, as far as in leadership, one thing we need to do is listen more. And he said in churches, leaders need to listen. And I thought a lot about that, and I thought, that's so true. And so then probably 6 months ago, I read it was about 20 pages, this four-part article. It was for youth ministers about counseling. And I read it, and it just really resonated, and I thought, I want to put something together with this for the elders. So I cut and paste and changed some words, just to 20 pages into one. I was determined to get it in a one page here. You're welcome. And but just in our work as elders, if we don't listen, then we're missing something as far as the pastoral part of our work. And I just want to go through some of this here briefly. I won't read it all. You can take it home and read it. But as a counselor, you know, back in 1991, when I took my first class, they talked about the big three that I'm going to talk about here. And then in about every intro counseling class I ever had, they would always bring this up. And about 2 years ago, when I worked full time, when I was a counselor, I thought, what am I doing? And I remember many times, especially since COVID, but even before COVID, it's this way, I would sit and have counseling going on, and I'd be thinking, I think I'm wasting their time. I don't have any strategies for them. And then almost every time, I would think that they would get up and say, thank you so much. This is awesome. This was so helpful. And just being able to listen is, I'll say, 90% of being a counselor. All the theories and all of that. I was never, and if you know me, I'm not a real academic guy. And learning all the theories, I was like, gosh, I got to just get through this stuff. And then I was always concerned that I wouldn't embrace a lot of the theories. And I did some. But then I realized, and in fact, in the last class I took, I actually took it at SLU for counseling, a very respected teacher was there, and he was talking. He said, you know, when counseling, he said, sometimes I'm there and I'm like, I have no idea what goes on in therapy, but therapy goes on. Mm. And I was like, yeah, mm. I like that. And in shepherding, in some of this stuff, I've got counselor, and I've put in parentheses my own word, shepherd. And so much of the time, shepherding, and I'm talking about the pastoral shepherding that goes on. It's really hard to define what good shepherding is and what's not good as far as techniques, but it's just being the person that you are and being the one that listens. And that's kind of what this talks about in here. And I'm going to just read a couple things in here. The single most important factor, this is the first quote, in effective counseling or shepherding is the personhood of the counselor, the shepherd. Regardless of one's education, training, theoretical orientation, or counseling techniques, it is now widely accepted that if certain qualities are not brought to the helping relationship, there's little chance of successful intervention exists. And then Dr. Keith Olson said, you're the main ingredient in counseling or shepherding. The effectiveness of your counseling or shepherding is determined primarily by the quality of your personality. The techniques that you use and the skills you possess, although important, are secondary to the quality of your being. And I'll put in there, whatever your theology is, really doesn't make a whole lot of difference when it comes to being an effective shepherd. And just I just thought that was real applicable to us. And then the big three. And again, this is throughout the whole counseling theories, is just the accurate empathy, unconditional positive regard, and genuineness or congruence. I'll just briefly go over that, but just it's you know, just being able to be empathetic with the people that we're working with, the people in our own church, and or the sheep, is so important. And it's more than just being sympathetic. It's being empathetic and just really being able to feel their pain. And when we listen to people as shepherds, it's important for us really to try to be empathetic with people. And again, and sometimes it can be complicated. Say you're talking to somebody that comes in and they're struggling with homosexuality. You know, I really believe it's, you know, you don't have to go to them and correct them biblically. I think our role is at this point is just to really listen to them. And with the different people that are struggling with different things, it could be marriage, it could be with their kids. The first step is just to really listen to them and being empathetic. You know, just really, man, that must be really hard with your daughter treating you that way. And you know, things like that. So that's having accurate empathy. Second thing is unconditional positive regard, or kind of unconditional love. And it's just the non-judgmental acceptance of the people that are the sheep. And I think that's something that's very, very important for us to do. And there may come a point when we have to approach them about sin, but I think it takes a while to get there. I think first being able to listen effectively with empathy and unconditional positive regard, and then the genuineness, the third thing. And the genuineness is the what you say and the all your body and everything is consistent. You know, you don't tell somebody, man, I really appreciate you. You know, say, man, I appreciate you. Just let's go on and do something else. You know, but not, just being able to bring both of those together with just the congruence. And for us, much more than in counseling, the congruence of our life and our faith with our role as a shepherd. All that, I think, is just so important. So you can take this and take it home and read it. I'll just read First Peter 5, 1 through 3, just about shepherding, and I'll have a prayer, and then we'll move forward. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings, and one who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you're willing, as God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. It's very much of a incredible responsibility we have, but it's also an honor to do what we get to do and the role we have as shepherds. And I've appreciated being here and serving with you guys, and it's a privilege to do that and then to serve the sheep that we do serve. Let's pray. God, thank you for allowing us to be in the role as shepherds. Show us how to be better listeners to the sheep. Thank you for this time we have, and I ask you to bless our items that we're dealing with and bless our church. In your son's name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, David. It's interesting that today, just this afternoon, somebody sent me a Facebook post that said it was something on a never underestimate the power of mindful Christianity. And the quote was, when the right person hugs you, it's like medicine. I'm so grateful for those few people in my life who are good for my soul.
That's good.
I mean, yeah. It's same, yeah. Same thing.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, the qualities that we go to be a shepherd are very small for what the role is of a shepherd.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, update on people. I think Angie and Marion are going to Honduras tomorrow. Okay. I have to call her on the way here.
About a week ago, right before worship started, the Patterson said, hey, we want to talk to you and Gwen at the worship. And so after worship, we sat down and talked for a few minutes, and we all probably know Jim's retired, and that's been an adjustment for him, but they're doing okay with that. What was really bothering them is that they had taken a vacation with their family, the three children, I believe, and Peter bought his girlfriend. And somewhere along the line on a vacation, a few things were said, and Peter got very disrespectful to his parents. And Jim said he said some things that you would never expect your child to say to him. He wasn't specific to what he said, but it was really hurtful to him. And so when they got back, I'm not sure if Peter voluntarily moved out or they asked him to move out. So he's not with them right now. But just keep them in your prayers. Love on them, as you were saying, so they needed some hugs right now.
Wow.
You know, so just love on them. They've had a very difficult last 2 or 3 years. You know.
From what I had heard, just additional to that, was that that Millie and Abby had got upset at Peter. So I don't know how that all plays into the thing and with the girlfriend, and then maybe it ended up where they did that to the parents, and now he's saying
Yes.
Steve, how's Joyce doing?
Difficult. I mean, she's we went about 2 weeks ago. Calvin, her younger brother's son, got married up in Michigan, and so we went up there to the wedding. And on the way back, we stopped at Calvert's to get something to eat. And we walked. Joyce and I walked in. And then she walked back out. I thought maybe she just the same thing she wanted on the menu, but it was Father's Day. And on Father's Day, her and Lewis would go up and get these milkshake. He would get one kind, she would get the other kind, and didn't realize that that was part of their tradition. So that became very emotional. She just came back in and just broke down and started crying. I mean, so very difficult right now. I think she was in Cersei over the weekend with Ben Williams, I believe. But so she's trying to, you know, stay active, mobile. Being in the house is difficult for any extended period of time. So it's a journey. It's a journey.
Mm-hmm. How is Michael doing? I've been out of touch the last couple of weeks.
I haven't really connected with him much. I mean, I talked to him outside of worship about a week and a half, 2 ago, but I haven't really plugged into him. I don't know if you have or not. I know you guys have a pretty relationship.
I know what I know from him is he's doing okay. So I don't know if they're back together, Dave. You probably know that more than me.
They're in the process.
Yeah, I know that they were
very
in the same place.
Promising within a couple of weeks. And it has something to do with the apartment that Whitney has and getting him back on the lease and things like that.
More technical in nature, you mean?
Yeah, and I never understood that whole arrangement. I know the apartment's in her name, but Michael insists that and I think it's a reduced rental type of arrangement, like she's a single mom, but they know about him, he's married, all of that, so I just don't understand. But that's some element of it. And Michael thought within a couple of weeks he'd likely be able to move back in there. And
she's been staying at Gloria's, too, from time to time.
In fact, when I dropped him off Sunday, I dropped the whole pile of folks off at Gloria's to spend the day together because Whitney wanted the kids to have some time with their dad. So that's all positive.
Yeah.
Not warm and fuzzy, but very positive.
And he got a new bank account. His other bank account that he's had for a couple of years got closed, and I think it was all during all of this mix of everything. And so he's not had a bank account for I don't know how long. He didn't tell me the exact details. But so as of Sunday, he has a new bank account. So that's positive, too, on the money side of things.
Well, now, back about 2 or 3 months ago, that people kept getting asked to lend him money. And I know my son Aaron, he just kind of mentioned something, and he sent some money. Was it to him? Was it to him? Okay.
They all. I would doubt if anybody else asked for it besides him.
Oh, okay.
Like it had stolen his phone. At one point, he acted as if it wasn't from him.
Oh, okay.
But I am 100% sure.
Okay.
I think that it was him asking for it, and mm-hmm. he was too ashamed to say it was him. Mm-hmm. Because later he's like, yeah, those were all me. Like at least for most of the ones that I had asked him about specifically, was this you? Because I got two of them and within 10 hours of each other.
And
it's like,
that's
a bit odd to ask.
I worked through that with Michael and told him I was encouraging people, if you ever ask for funds, funnel it to me for benevolence mm-hmm. screening or whatever.
Yeah.
And he was pretty open. He had a crisis with some child support. He's got children outside of the immediate family that he's responsible for child support for. And so there's a bit of a crisis there that he ultimately told me about, and we were able to get that taken care
good.
Of.
So,
hopefully those things are behind him and can be kept up.
Yeah. So,
I noticed on the prayer list from Kaylin that Lindsay Minton had asked for prayers mm-hmm. for. I lost
I
the most recent
her Sunday. I was going to try to say something. I saw her husband, but I didn't see her.
It's her
mother.
Mm-hmm. Has some issues with her leg. Or...
Yeah, I forgot to ask Mark if that's where she was at. Because I only saw Mark just in passing, and so I didn't get to chat with him too much. But
makes sense.
But I think that was my thought, that she was probably there with her, like her and the boys.
Yeah, I think, again, I just lost it. I just had it early this afternoon. But the latest thing from Kaylin, it had something about, she sort of, it sounded like she had a little relapse or something, and that maybe she was.
Yeah, so her mom had knee issues before, and then she fell or something and hurt it again. And so that's what, and this happened, it's been almost a week, because we had it on our note
we
on last Tuesday.
Last
yeah.
So it's the same note that she had put on there then, but it was the first time that we had got it.
Broke her knee last month, been on bed rest, increasing pain the last few days. Thursday, my sister made her go to the ER, blood clot.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what it was.
In her leg.
Yeah. That's what it was today.
Last communication I had from her, she said her mother was doing better.
That's good.
It was last week, over the weekend.
Good.
I have questions about two different groups. One would be Greg and Olivia. Any updates on them? Has anybody talked to them? Because they've not been back at church for a month.
Since BBS. Steve and I talked about it today. I reached out to Steve, but I didn't get a hold of anybody today, trying to just touch base.
Yeah, I emailed him yesterday after them not being there one more time, and we had the big next gen this weekend, and so Greg was one of the people that we had asked to play guitar for us, because he's been playing it for the kids. So I'll have to make sure that he's not on this week, just to be sure that I have somebody helping with that, and so they have not responded.
About a week and a half ago, I had a conversation with Olivia because she, I think I expressed in our last meeting about some feelings she had about the process for Cherie, the person we're interviewing for the children's minister's position. So she and I, spent some time on the phone talking about it, and my impression was that after we got off the phone, she was in a good place. She thanked me and we talked about, just a number of things. And I think the conversation was positive. Several days later, which would have been, I think, this past week, they were at the Jason and Wilka's small group on that Tuesday after our conversation. And so they're not here on Sunday, but it looked like they're still engaging and not really sure what is causing. I know she's extremely busy right now, so I don't know.
And her mother was here yesterday.
She was. She was.
yesterday. Yes. I didn't get to talk to her. I saw her. I was walking into the nursery, and she walked by. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. I didn't expect to see her without the others. So that was positive, I think, for her being there. The other is Nathaniel and Shelley. So I heard over the weekend negative news about our congregation or pieces of our congregation and that relationship. And so they're sharing that out loud to other people. So outside of, and I don't know how, it was not very detailed, the information. It was just that they had met with, they were at the same place with them, and they had heard them talking about McKnight being bad, or like this kind of overtone of us, whether it be.
So I'm getting confused. Who are they? They is Nathan and Shelley.
Nathan and Shelley.
And they were someplace talking to somebody?
There was a group of people together. Like, so they, I don't remember who all the people.
Somebody from
church?
The writers
were there. They were there. I don't remember who.
So someone from our church overheard this?
No, Carl had told me. So in our meeting on Friday, whenever me and Jeff met with him, that there were several people together. And he overheard them talking about it.
He
about
being Carl. Okay.
And I don't know if he was actually in the conversation or if he was around the party or whatever it was, and just heard it and just felt it was sort of not very positive. It's a very interesting situation. I know that Steve, you've talked to them, and I know that they've had issues with their small group, and it's a hard.
And their family.
And their family. I mean, that's not even.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're not.
Yeah.
In a positive.
I spent a lot of time with that, and then was supposed to have a meeting with Shelley, and then Shelley and Carrie and Eric. And I've not been able to get Shelley together. And then, so I've just kind of, I'm not sure what to do with that. Spent a lot of time with it.
Yeah.
And, but. Maybe if you, we can talk, and I could get with them and talk with them about what.
Yeah, and he didn't really say a lot of details, just that it was very negative towards the church, like towards McKnight. And so my assumption is it's not towards us, as in the whole church, because I have an okay relationship with them. I know Fogarty has an okay relationship with them. But of course, most of us don't sit on the positive side of their relationship. Or, I mean, it's a hard situation she's in. So, I mean, somebody leaves her and doesn't divorce her, but it's just a struggle to deal with. And I don't know how much we should be involved in it or where we, how we should sit to handle it. And but I know that it's just the outside connotation of other people in that negativeness about McKnight is what bothers me more, I think.
Yeah.
Because if it would be one specific and say, it's Jeff Kreider's problem and he's the whole fault, it's okay, you put it on one person and it's not the whole congregation. But to put it as a negative towards the whole congregation changes the picture, I think.
Yeah.
Because they've never been, from the congregation to my knowledge, have we excommunicated them or anything. So they shouldn't have that feel, but it's because of individuals here, I think, more.
And it would come down to probably Carrie and Eric.
Yes, definitely. I mean, it's probably the small group that is where it's all focused at.
That's a fun small group.
Visit him.
Did you? Yeah, well, Carrie cooks and Eric talks, and it's a good time. I talked to Joe Shelley yesterday, and he's doing a bit better. He's finished his first phase of chemo, where it's every week, and that's like the worst time because he's basically just sick all week long, and now he's in a second phase where he does it every other week, and so he says, towards the middle of the second week, he starts to feel okay. So he's hoping to be at church at least every other week. And he says he's got to do 8 rounds of that, so 16 weeks of that, before he can be evaluated for possibly going to once a month, which he would surely like. His neuropathy has gotten worse, yeah. But he's not bedridden, which happened to him last time. Mm-hmm. So just waiting to see how that goes. And he did talk a lot about his wife in during Bible class. He's really like struggling because there's times when he feels like she's being receptive to talking about God, and then there's times when she's just in a mood and don't want anything to do with him and just a little hateful. So he needs some prayers. Yeah. We did pray for him during class.
Not a attending member, but Opal's back in the hospital, not doing well. She's got some sepsis, some infection in both her kidneys. Mm. A lot of pain.
Did something that precipitated that, Don, or
it's all related to her lupus? I think it's just continued to progress. And
man, she's had a hard life.
She really, really has.
Boy,
and still amazingly, very positive.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I picked her up to take her to the hospital the other day, and she just was not Opal. I mean, she's just hard. Just terrible pain.
It's your brother-in-law.
Well, I'm taking applications for nursing assistants here.
But he won't have it, just you. Yeah. He's put his foot down.
No, he's kind of been the same way. I mean, he's 74 years old. He's, up until now, he's been in good health, lived on his own, volunteered at the zoo all the time. You know, but he is just a lot of pain all the time. Neuropathy. And we had a video chat with the doctor just before it came, and going to try a new med. But he's also in dialysis 3 times a week, and he has a TPN feeding every night that I have to hook up. So I might have to leave a little early tonight to go do that. But he's not a very good patient. So one of the most cynical people I know.
He and Debbie couldn't be more opposite.
Yeah.
Yeah, I keep looking at him. How did this happen? He was the oldest, so I guess. Oh,
Kaz has got an interview tonight. I'm not sure who knows and who doesn't, but he lost his job at the hospital. And there are very few opportunities at the moment in the whole St. Louis market. So there have been opportunities, but right now they're not really. And so he has an option, possibility. There's a couple, there's an orthopedic center for the guy who was head of, who was a Cardinals doctor, and he left. And so there's a kind of a big hole there, but it's also run by another doctor that is got a strong personality. And so there's just kind of a lot to figure out and somewhat of a, I won't say short amount of time, but it's a lot to try to figure out, is this a good direction for him to go? And so just ask for prayers for discernment for that. Because it's like, okay, what am I getting into, kind of thing. And it's private practice, so instead of working with a hospital consortium or that sort of thing, you're with this other group of doctors, and it's their own, it's their own thing. So he meets with one of the guys, really wants him to come in. One of the guys doesn't want him to hire him, but not be a part of a partner. And he's meeting with another guy tonight, and it's just kind of all over the board. And so, anyway, it could be a really good thing for him. It could, but it's certainly different. And then the only other opportunity at the moment is at St. Elizabeth's in O'Fallon, Illinois. So that's not all that much more driving, really, than driving up to Christian, like he has been all these years, but still not ideal to drive through downtown, or even if he goes south. on 255. It just feels like a long way away. So, I don't know, might be, it's just gonna be interesting to see where this goes. And tonight's kind of a big meeting. And then I might have told some of you, others didn't. I just got back from being with my mom, and then she tries to chase down the trash cans that are blowing down the street because of the storm and it's raining. And she grabs the two trash cans and the lids and said she almost made it to the door, slipped, fell, broke her hip.
Oh.
So she said, stupid, stupid, stupid me. She kept being so mad at herself for just trying to do too much at once. And there's people, older women particularly, osteoporosis, break their hip and fall, or they fall and break their hip. So this, she did the second one, which isn't quite as bad as the first, but still the prognosis is not that great for at her age for bouncing back from something like this. So just talking about it with Kaz tonight, the statistics, just, you know, you lay it out there, 25% do not make it.
Yeah.
And another, I forgot what it was, what he said, the second stat, but the, you know, another 25 or 50% are really, it's just a difficult go to get to bounce back to the healing process and all that. So anyway,
you see anything else?
We're going on vacation Wednesday. No, I don't think. I hope they don't come in threes.
Has Leon had any?
Started his new job today.
Oh,
yeah,
where do you get a job?
Place called Vestal. It's a construction company, and it has a group of engineers, and they didn't have a chemical engineer or a process engineer like him, and so they were very happy to get him. And
great,
stuff.
That's pretty quick.
So, yeah, it was very.
Yeah,
quick.
That's great. Yeah,
he has skills. That's good.
Yeah.
Well, Jeff Fogarty, you guys probably know he's not working right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But he said he's relieved.
Yeah. It's only Jeff can say.
He's relieved. So, but
about a lot of years with.
Wow.
US
Bank. Yeah.
He wasn't too happy about how they immediately put his job back on the market, like they advertised for it.
Did they?
They're just looking for someone that's less experienced. They don't have to pay as much.
Yeah.
So that feel good.
He had 18 years there, so that.
But he said they gave him a good severance package, so he's going to take his time.
Yep. Yeah.
How old is Jeff? 58?
59 and a half plus.
Yeah,
okay. He just turned 59 and a half. Was it April maybe or sometime? March. Yeah. And that's exactly what he did.
So September.
That may be the reason why they fired him. They're like, "What? You don't have any retirement? What do you do with your money?"
So September 5th, he'll be 60.
It's tough in IT. Like my dad, he was unemployed when he was 66, and it's hard getting a job because they figure you're on your way out, so they don't want to commit to you.
Wow.
And you don't want to learn new things.
Yeah. But if you're in the wrong field, if you don't want to learn new things, that's all it is all the time.
We have a lot of people that are stuck there.
That's true.
And he's thinking about possibly going to England, visit Ali Gasser, jumping by Marseille, and then Mauritius as well.
Good.
Okay. So those are things, and so we may, as the missions committee, have to give him the elder money, and since none of the elders want to go on mission trips. Steve, we could have given you some money to your trip.
Yeah, encourage those groups.
And how is everything with Marseille group? Any heard anything new?
Nothing past that they did not get the money for the original property. They bought something. They bought another building right behind their building, like the apartment complex or something like that. But that's what they're working on.
Okay.
The place that they had planned to buy, they...
It's gone.
It's gone. Or at least it's off the market. Nobody bought it officially, but that's as much as we know. So they just know that they took it. Whenever they'd ask them about the things that they had changed in the contract, at that point it dropped.
Huh.
They're like, it's no longer on for sale.
Wow.
And it was like, okay, did somebody buy it? And they don't know anything else. The lawyers haven't talked to them. They haven't been able to get any information from anybody. But they're just doing their summer things now. That's pretty much their email.
Anybody else? Brad?
I'm here Sunday, so. Well, Mike Hutchins has got something going on.
Yeah.
Seeing the doctor on the 9th. And I don't know details, but Denise asked for prayers for him.
Yep. Okay.
So Pam was baptized.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, it was really good. She was in a great place, and Don was very supportive, and all her kids were there, and it was just a. It was. Were you there? I showed the picture the one day. Or?
No, I wasn't. No, she mentioned it yesterday in our group. We were here yesterday.
Felt like it kind of came and went, and maybe we didn't celebrate it enough. I mentioned it that one Sunday, but it was really, really a good, good outing. I've got a photo in here. I'll show you, Steve.
Okay, so Brad, could you lead us?
I'm sorry?
Could you lead our prayer?
Oh, sorry. You said I thought it was being passed over to
that. Well, I didn't think you were here, so I got Don, but then I told Don I was good. Since you're here, we'll let you do it.
I got some notes, so let me lead this prayer.
All right. Okay, go ahead. Thank you.
Father, we are grateful, a little overwhelmed at times with the variety of need and the extent and the lack of answers. And so we lay that at your feet when we feel that, and we praise you for your ability to deal with all of this that we're talking about. A lot of things that feel beyond our control, but blessings to count as well. We pray for Jeff's mom and her healing from her hip. May she beat the odds. Thank you for the doctors caring for her. And the other health needs that we've talked about, Opal, Joe Shelley, Leslie Mittens, or the Mittens' mother, and then Mike Hutchins and others that we know of. Father, you are greater than all those needs, and we ask your blessing and your healing on all those situations, please. And may they be comforted emotionally and encouraged as well as they heal. Father, we pray for Kaz and his unemployment journey. Give him wisdom, insight, and make this an opportunity for him. And we pray that he'll feel that and land at a place that's a blessing for him and the many who rely on him. Father, we thank you for Deb's brother, and we pray that Don and Debbie can hold up and be there for him. Thank you for the love, and maybe that's a breakthrough for him in his life to feel the love that they're sharing with him. Father, we pray for Shelley and Nathan and their disgruntled feelings about the body. And again, we give that to you to try to help heal the relationships there. And may they find a place to worship and draw closer to you that works for them. We pray for Peter Patterson and his relationship with his folks and help them navigate that. And it may be hard to give him space, but detach with love sometimes is an answer. We pray that they'll find an answer. And thank you for their willingness to communicate about that need. We pray for Joyce and her continued grieving and ask you to help her feel comforted, loved, and blessed. Help her see the blessings that she can count over and over and over. We pray for the Cannons' marriage. We ask you to bless them. As they heal and get back together, we pray that happens and that you're glorified by that and honored by that, maybe a renewed commitment between them. And thank you for the new baby that's growing inside of Whitney. We ask your blessing on that and other pregnancies if Joanna, our daughter being pregnant, and others, Father, we pray that you'll knit those children together and that they will serve you with their lives. Bless them as parents and all the supports around them. Father, we praise you that the body at McKnight is so varied and gifted, and you often have the right people in the right place as we try to shepherd. And so thank you for supplementing our ability and really glorifying your name by the way the body works the way it's supposed to. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, let's go to number three. Any comments on next Sunday's preaching?
Steve just had
I was surprised when y'all made the announcement Sunday, there was like a very positive reaction from the crowd.
Yeah.
Like you could hear it. Mm-hmm. People were excited.
That was one section, I guess. Yeah.
We took it as everybody, right, Ron?
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, that's right.
We take the wins where we can. Joni Milligan mentioned to my wife, she was a little concerned about Ron, that may cross a line for him. But Ron didn't communicate with me directly, and I gave him the chance to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of hovered around a little bit, encouraged him about his communion thought. And so, you know, but just Jody thought, okay, there's going to be a reaction of some kind.
Yeah, I talked to my church after the announcement, and he seemed, we didn't talk about that, but he was in good spirits. So
yes.
I feel like he didn't have an emotional reaction to it.
That was a mixed signal there, but just.
Mm-hmm. On the same, I emailed him, hey, you know, good job with communion and just general stuff. And he shot back a couple lines, but nothing about any issues with the preaching. And he would have done that with me, I think. So
that was the only whiff of that sentiment that we got.
Yeah.
Let him get the adrenaline and be up on stage.
That's right.
And then he's happy to let anybody lead singing, whatever.
Well, I'll have to remember this next time.
Yeah. Okay, let's go down to the next one. Children's Minister Search update.
Not a whole lot to update. The group now, we're at a place now to where we're ready to talk with Cypher. I sent you guys something today. And so it looks like the 11th of this month, we have our first meeting with Jennifer. And, We are going to cover a couple things, just in case you guys get a chance to see. I'll just pass this on. So these are some of the topics we wanted to really get into with her to find out, help us with some things in terms of understanding. We talked a little bit about this, the different roles of a children's minister versus a family minister, and what type of qualifications are required for each one of those positions. What should we be looking for? What should we be soliciting for if we decide to change directions on the type of minister that we want to fill for that position, so we can make sure we understand it. Then what should we expect as a congregation with one versus the other, so that we can make sure we understand, will that be something that will fill the need that we have right now and provide us opportunity for future growth. So that's would be one of the main things we want to dig into. Then we also want to talk about transition, because once our great children's minister we have right in place now leaves, we're going to have a void there. So we want to understand what that looks like in the interim period, what it looks like if you have someone come in another interim role, or if you don't have someone in that role, what are your options, what are your things you can be doing. So we want to have a better understanding of that. I think the other thing here is that we may not have to get too much into the current job description we have right now, especially we remain with the children's administration, maybe some tweaks, but we might have to do a kind of a reconstruction of when we decide to go with a family minister. We may have to reconstruct the job description. And then we want to talk about tenure, right? So there's some data out there that says that, tenure is very short for children's minister. And so we want to kind of get a sense of, okay, what will facilitate longer tenure? What kind of some of the things that we need to be thinking about that we can maintain, you know, long-term relationships with the with that particular position. So those are some of the things, there's a few other things that we brought to the
meeting. Yeah, when you were out, we did have a meeting, and the consensus was that we felt like the process got a little drawn out where it was, so we're wanting to go back to kind of the way we interviewed Jeremiah, where, you know, we had a call, we had a Zoom meeting, and then we had a meeting Saturday with parents, and then Sunday they were participating with the kids. So kind of, if we have a good candidate, less drawing out cross time. Mm-hmm. Although I don't know that would have helped with Sherry, because I feel like if she was interested in us, she would have less knowledge.
She was a different case, but we did.
We want to see if we can consolidate. Just because they're local doesn't mean we can't.
That's a good call. Is that we want to figure out, is there some methodology? There's some things we can do to compress it without compromising.
Yeah.
You know,
and do all of our Facebook research up front before first.
Yes.
Get any gotchas later.
So, I kind of understand, but I don't really understand what the goal is with reaching out to Seibert. Mm-hmm. So it seems that if we had 20 candidates, hey, which one do we want? How do we whittle this down? How can we narrowly define this? But it seems like we have no fish in the net, so you want to cast a wider net. And so, you know, I'm not sure what the goal is or the hope is with contacting the Seibert Institute.
Okay. Kind of what you're saying is that we don't have any fish in the net.
Right.
How do we get fish in the net? Right. So that's part of it.
Asking her ideas.
Get some sense to that. And there's a person on the team that he's feeling the pressure of that, so much so that he's actually spent a couple hundred dollars of his own money to hire a third party, one of these which one's on here? I think it was churchstaffing.com. Just to see if that will produce some candidates. And so so that's one thing. How do we get fish into that? The other thing is, okay, we have an ideal of what the difference are with the children's minister versus the family minister, but we need to really make sure we are on point with someone that's doing that, more on a professional level or consulting level in terms of that. And see if that's enough kind of difference in there that we need to be thinking more about the candidate that we are soliciting for. So if you're fishing, are we using the right bait? So we, not only do we have any fish in the water, but, you know, on the hook, but we are we using the right bait? So we want to understand that as well. The other thing we do want to understand is just kind of like, okay, what are some of the things that the churches are doing to maintain longer term tenure? We thought we had some things in place that was attractive to Jeremiah, and we were even thinking about putting some other things in place. We didn't get to that, but don't even know if those other things that we would have put in place would have been enough incentive for him. And maybe there wasn't much we can do at all, right? But maybe there are some things we can be thinking about doing. And because we do live in a we're living in a fishbowl where she's living in an ocean, right? And so we want the benefit of what she's seeing out there in a greater marketplace, and so trying to pull all that together. So those are some of the things that we are looking to learn from her.
Okay. Yeah, I looked through that list, and it didn't seem like it's how to catch fish, but how do we pick which fish we want to keep? And so if it is just how do we get more fish on the line, then that makes sense to me. But trying to be discriminatory when, there's nothing to choose against, if it's $1,000, and, what are we going to get for that? So what's the hope? And so I just want to make sure I understand what's going on.
Yes, so the other thing is, I think, and Phil will jump in at any time. The other thing is that, so she has, for lack of a better term, these pocket listings where people she's talking to, they haven't made it public that they want to really go out in the marketplace, but they have some interest. And the other thing that we
are going to work on is developing a relationship so she have a better understanding of who we are, so that when she's engaged with those candidates, she can make some recommendations. Hey, this might be a good fit for you, you know. And so that's one way of getting fish on the hook. And so
that's a good point. Yeah, I like that. Yeah. So she can really be an advocate for us because she doesn't know what she's advocating for.
She doesn't, not yet. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to spend some time doing, you know.
Which is kind of very similar to with Carson as our cyber person. Mm-hmm. He knew us because his mom went here, a little more familiar.
Can I ask a question? Just because my brain was thinking the same way with Brett and $1,000 the rate on, or the ROI on that. Are we really going to get it back? So did we pay Carson when he gave us names?
No.
So my question is, why are we paying her $1,000 or however much it is? It's by 15 minutes. So it could be $1,000. It could be $5,000, depending on how much time we spend with her.
Good.
Feasible.
We can cut it off.
So that whole thing of, is it valuable for us to sit there and listen for an hour to her for $1,000 or however the 15 minute it is?
Oh, so $1,000 is what it costs for that 1 hour?
No,
it's $200 an hour. The estimate is it's going to be $800 to $1,000.
Yes, this could be the estimate.
Yeah. And so that's where my struggle is. Is it really going to give us the return on investment by spending that money? And if we, maybe she gives us a couple candidates. Is there other ways for her to give us candidates other than just giving the, like having the conversation like how Carson gave us?
Well, Carson had before. A familiar relationship with us that we don't have with her.
But that's one of those things, too.
If we would have used Carson for some other stuff, they would have charged us. Yeah. But we just kind
and
of touched
the services he provided for us, they should have charged us for that.
I question the whole premise sometimes about Seibert and their...
Yeah.
Because, I mean, this is about the church and trying to make the church better, and then they're charging to do that.
Yeah.
It's a university that's paid by...
Well, I don't think this lady is, and I don't think that's the... Mm-hmm. That she's just a... You know, I think she doesn't... I'm not even sure what her relationship is with Seibert. I think she's been referred to by Seibert. But I just know in the preliminary conversation, it was very clear to me that we don't know very much. Just from the two or three things that she was able to see. And so we've got to get a wider scope of insight.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's all she, you know, whether, I don't know if that's 1 hour, 2 hours, or 3 hours, but it's just like if they're graduating people that are interested in family ministry and we're over here on children's ministry, then we kind of have a miss. And so it's just having that kind of basic conversation with her is what, you know, and she's just been around the block and have seen it.
Yeah. So bottom line, it's a minimal amount for, I think, drawing on some experience that we don't have. And that, as Jeff said, I mean, here's somebody that knows what the people out there are looking for and what they're seeking based upon their education. And we don't know that yet, you know. Yeah. I just think it's a minimal amount, whether it's 1,000, 2,000, whatever, to get some valuable input on a big project that we're
stuck on.
Stuck with us.
I think that there is a miss in that we're allowing a search committee to be the ones looking at that. Because if we as an eldership have a problem that we have a missing place in that place that we're looking for, we assign the mission or the committee to go look for a children's minister. And that's because it's all based upon this next gen philosophy, then we either gave them the wrong job to do to begin with, and so we sent them off, do this, and this is what you need to fill, because this will fit into our thing, or we as a group need to be part of that investigation to understand better what we as a church, as a body, as a shepherd, group need to understand that too, because we can't really give.
I mean, Steve's on the committee, so.
But that's one of a whole group, because most of the group think that we need a children's minister. So if we all think a children's minister, and Steve now thinks a family minister.
I don't know. I'm not advocating for one.
I'm just saying, in that scenario.
And whatever they find out, I think they'll bring back. I mean, I think that's part of the process, right? I mean, it's not going to act independently and. So again, I think it's information that's available and relatively inexpensive to, it'll be very valuable.
It's interesting concept that you've always been youth and family minister, and then we have a children's minister. Yeah. I kind of like the idea of a children and families minister and a youth and family minister, and they kind of family minister by committee kind of thing, because they're both really trying to do that, I would think.
Well, I'll say the big distinction is that with young children, there's more opportunities to involve parents. With older children, they need their independence, so like they don't want mom and dad hanging out at all their events and things. So there's a little bit, I mean, at least that's what I've been experiencing.
Mm-hmm. I get it.
Well, but then it's that plus even more than just the
It should be about the family.
Holistic, sure. Yeah. Yes. And that's where I like both of them trying to be more holistic.
More holistic approach, because I think one of the things that you're talking about, maybe we're missing something in how we're ministering or leading in our ministry to our children's ministry, and I think we are. I think one of the things we're missing is there's a component, the whole more holistic component is where, you know, the home. The home is a critical component. It's the most important component of the formation of children. I mean, and having that healthy home is critically important. And I think one of the misses is that how healthy are our homes? Do we know that? I'm not sure if we do. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's not something people will readily let you in on if you're not close enough to them to figure that out. And so, I think we need to figure out how we can be more intentional about how we can learn how healthy our homes are.
And then how can we help make them healthy?
Yes.
And that's a hard one there.
Yes, yes, yes.
Well, on a more practical level, we need to understand what graduates and people that are in the field seeking jobs are looking to do. Mm-hmm. You know, like maybe we need to change the description or the role to get the right candidates to want to apply.
Mm-hmm. You have to bait the fish. So anyway, that's what's happening. And those are our recommendations.
And I think once we get to the point where if we get Ethan and Sarah, once they commit, that can kind of change their whole thought process where they may know some people out there.
Yeah.
So.
And then at some point, we want to bring them into this whole process.
Yeah, yeah,
if they
right,
commit to
right.
working with us, you know, we need to make sure that they have some input on this next candidate that's coming mm-hmm. in.
Yeah.
Ethan.
Exactly.
Has
yeah.
candidate.
Anything else?
Not that I can think of.
Let's skip down to Ethan.
We
didn't
stop on one other thing that you said. You'd ask, you mentioned the idea of the interim minister that's around. So timing-wise, what is that looking like?
Terms of
like, how long do you guys need me to stay? How long? Because I mean, I'm open to being available. So I mean, because VBS is the big thing. So I mean, that was something that took 2 weeks of vacation, which Ron shared with everybody. And so, but in reality, the normal everyday run of business, let's call it, is not something that takes a lot of time.
Okay.
So I can continue to do that in the interim.
Okay.
2026.
Yeah. Want to talk about pay at that point?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's good.
Yeah.
So
I want to be fair to you. What really works for you without compromising your full time gig, right?
And so yeah. And so that, and then I mean, we'll be in Searcy a bunch and back and forth, or every once in a while with Sophie being down there. So things will change as August hits. That we'll be moving her in down there, at least a weekend here and there, and then.
But you're not as firm as you might have been at one time.
Correct. Yeah. So I mean, the goal was to get it done before the end of the summer.
Yeah.
We didn't really want to lose you and having two missing completely.
Yeah.
But, and so that's where I think that the goal is to keep things moving. Yeah. And my goal was to set it up so that at the beginning of the school year or whenever they started, then we would have a plan and process in place for that. And that's what we talked about already.
And maybe let me ask you this, Jeff, if you're saying that you could do that into the fall, is what you're saying, in a more in the capacity. You're not doing VBS, but you're doing the day-to-day. I think that's what
correct.
You're saying.
Correct. You're just saying, okay.
But maybe okay. The other side of that is borrowing trust that, hey, we're trying to move as fast as we can with the committee to, you know, yeah. Because we recognize that we don't want to take advantage of your generosity with that.
Yeah, that's part of the burden that we're carrying is that, you know, what you're doing, realize that there's a, you know, there's an expiration date on it, and so we're going to respect that. And so whatever you tell us is expiration date, we'll transition to something else in terms of what we're
doing. Yeah, I think that really just that kind of idea is what I would think, that it's not that I'm leaving on August the 1st or August the 31st or whatever day it is. It's whenever we find somebody to take the place, I'll take that. And if somebody wants to take over, Brett wants to be the children's minister. He doesn't do enough here. So between me and Brett, we live here pretty much 24/7. So if I'm here late at night, Brett's texting me, what are you doing there? Yeah, I'm upstairs. Come on, help me here. Get some of this water off here. So those are the things that it's not that I'm looking for you guys to find somebody to replace me.
Yeah.
Because the time it's going to take me to train them to get to where I'm at, it's going to be more time than really it takes to do the job for the next 6 months.
Yeah.
So I think that I'm pretty good in the rhythm.
Okay.
Right now, Izzy's been doing a lot of the work, the day in, day out stuff here at the building.
But that'll change too.
But that'll change. But yeah. I mean, I was already doing it before she started.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I got in that rhythm. And so I think that I can keep the rhythm going.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, I do appreciate that. How's Izzy working out?
Generally good.
That was a good little clip in the email this week, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was good. Say. Great picture of her and good interview with her. That was good.
Good, yeah.
We had floated some names of other possible interim people, like when Jeff was done, if we needed to.
Mm-hmm.
And I know at least one of those candidates was eliminated or... But is there still any possibilities there?
Yeah, there's one or two maybe. I haven't really re-engaged them, but it was like one of them in particular said that, hey, I'm open. They didn't shut it down. So.
Okay, great. Thanks for your work with all that. I'll do this Jeremiah exit interview real quick. I've had it for a long time when Don and I did it, just didn't seem like there was time to fit it in. And I'll just kind of go through it quickly. I'll tell you what the question was. I'll give you a brief thing on that. And if you have any questions, you can ask. And probably Don and I can have some commentary in there with it. Why are you leaving? One thing he said, it's hard for me to say bad things because I love our church. I've been loved extremely well. That's one thing, quote, that he had. And we know the reason he's leaving, one of the reasons is he was single and wanted to be around other singles. And a couple things he did not like. One was with the Next Gen meetings, didn't talk enough about Next Gen stuff, but more about congregational stuff. And I've been in a lot of those meetings, and congregation and Next Gen are the same type of stuff.
Pretty bonded.
Yeah, and it's some of the things he said I kind of had to scratch my head with. And so that's kind of, he was not happy with some of the meetings because it got off of focus, which I was in a lot of those meetings but anyway, that was his opinion. So do you feel equipped and did you feel equipped and supported to do your job? Yes. Change Next Gen meetings to be more focused is what he said. You know, do you feel comfortable talking with the elders or Jeff when there was a problem? He said yes, for sure. He liked the way the things were set up, where Nathan had me, Jeremiah had you, and Jason, and just where we had an elder with a staff member. What went well for you as you served at MX? Not a lot of buy-in when he first came in. He didn't feel like there was much life in it, but he felt like a lot of life was breathed in and hope that there's more outreach. And he felt the church accepted it quickly, so that was all good. What did not go so well? And he said, not much didn't go well. What things could we do better? He said, we've been on a journey to see what it looks like to minister to children and give the wanted us to give the kids the language to wonder about God. Felt like we should stretch the volunteers in a relationship with God and let them experience more. And he felt like he wanted the worship to be more Holy Spirit directed. What would you change about the job? And here was one. He said he hated the duties as assigned.
Yeah.
And he's kind of throughout the whole thing.
Yeah.
My commentary. It's the generation where they want to be there and just focus on one thing. And they talked about staying in your lane. But when you're a small church, you can't just stay in your lane.
Yeah.
And I think it's part of that generation, and which is kind of frustrating. They've got to understand, as a church, as a minister, you, having the what's just got to figure out what's got to be done and be a part of doing that more than just in your little area.
That's almost what Ethan said, though, too. Isn't it?
Yes, it is.
So just and, as you say in that,
Nathan said it to us Nathan last week.
He did when he was in this meeting. That's what he said.
In this meeting? Yeah, he said it in staff meeting, just point blank last week.
What is it that they're doing that they're not? I'm trying to understand what they're talking about.
Well, let's say with Jeremiah, one of the things we said was, could you manage the banners that go out front?
The website.
Because that takes time to figure out when the up into the next upcoming events and make sure that a banner gets created and when one gets, does the one from last year work? Do the dates work for the daddy daughter dance or whatever it is? We probably have 12 or 15 of them. I don't know how many we have. And just, but some of those events are outside of his area. So he don't, that's kind of the thing. The website, some of the social media stuff he was doing. And these would even take parts of the next gen meeting to his point about not liking that. Now what was interesting to me with Jeremiah, my two cents, is he had an opinion about everything. So he wanted to opinionate about all of these areas, but he wanted to stay in his lane.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't really work that way in my opinion, but again, I think we tried to work through it, but it was very obvious to me almost from the beginning that he was saying that because he struggled right at first to figure out, now how are we structured, because I thought this was my job and it feels like I'm being involved in worship, for instance. Well, yes you are, but no you aren't. Can we not figure out how to collaborate and partnership in this?
Yeah, so the announcements.
To do the announcements, for instance, or to be asked to sing on the praise team, which you had the gifts to do that, but that was, those things bothered him. And he came from a church setting of a 1,200 member church where he just focused on his one thing. I would have thought it was a blessing to him.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that kept, I think you'll see that this is a good thing, not a limiting thing, but I'm not sure he ever did.
Yeah.
I think it may have prepared him for his next role that he's in now, because you don't have a lane. Because I've seen him on stage singing.
Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, God can use our different experience to help us, you know, navigate. So although he resisted that a lot.
On Chase singing with the new church.
Yes. Yeah. And in Dallas. And Dallas, you know.
Yeah.
And so, but I think where that started, too, is that when we started with, you know, our staff start to trim down in the office, and so we had them do some other things, and that generation resists that a little bit, you know, because I've heard Nathan say some of the same things in terms of.
And is it fair to say it's generational? Maybe it is. I don't know. Or is it personality? I don't know that either. But
I think it's more generational.
It's more generational. And Ethan has kind of asked about the same things, hasn't he, Doc?
Yeah.
In various
ways. And he's just right on the top of their generation. So he's at the top of their generation.
Yeah.
Jeremiah's in the middle.
Even before that, I remember 10, 15 years ago at youth minister conference and stuff, and just us older guys were frustrated because that same thing, and that we talked about we need a youth minister that has a servant heart.
Yeah,
and that will see other things that need to be done and be a part of the entire ministry of, you know. So it's been happening a while, and part of its personality too. So let's move on. I don't want to spend a lot of time with all this. advice you have for us as we move forward? Hire someone to help with roles. Add more staff. That's the, you know, yeah, that'd be great. Yeah. But anyway, are there any issues you'd like to address? More duties as assigned issues he dealt with, and he wanted us to protect Nathan. But I think it's, you know, looking at Nathan, I think it's fine. He's got these other, he's gifted in those other things. And quite frankly, I think he enjoys some of the creativity with that.
He does. I think he does, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, not as much more recently. So, again, parts of, meaning he feels more the pressure of the summer.
Yeah,
and
right.
he felt the planning and all that. Mm-hmm. So, suddenly, where he might have had available time, he doesn't now. And so, it's kind of adjusting to all of that. Yeah. Because the duties as assigned, Ross, was essentially what we came up with. When Jeremiah came on was one day a week, one out of your 5 days, 8 hours of your 40 hours, if you want to see it that way, was
duties
to do
assigned.
Things kind of outside of your.
And they probably didn't have that much either, did they?
At that point, whenever he started, probably not. But as Jeannie left, Jeremy left, more things started piling up.
But I don't think it was onerous. It was just different.
No, definitely.
Number 10, in your opinion, what changes could be made in this team to bring increasing health and effectiveness? Trying to create more bonding experiences for the staff, get them out of the office. And they mentioned Elizabeth being more heavy-handed with her. She'll not stop until she's in the hospital, and said have the admin elders deal with her. And I'm thinking, we tried.
Yeah.
All of that we've tried. And Tom needs someone to manage him. Is what she said. And then I think on the church system, with the congregation, he said, very well-intentioned people that care, visitors, members, etc., like to see us be more stretched past our Church of Christ roots. Example, Pray and Go Church said, let's do this. But then when it came to do it, they said, I'm not doing this. And with the staff, he pretty much, when he first came, he felt like the staff, it wasn't healthy. But once things started going, things got better and easier with the staff. And I think there was probably a lot of conflict with he and Jeremy.
Well, Jeremy was in the mix.
Yeah,
and
right.
we did a retreat right off, pretty much off the bat. And that was still a head scratcher in terms of.
Yeah, I remember you telling me about it. And then he put his perspective in. And he said he went home and was ready to kind of resign that night.
And again, I would not, I had to confront Jeremiah, and he was shocked to be confronted at that retreat.
Yeah.
And I'm glad we got past it, to be honest.
Yeah. Okay, next, tell me a story about a time when you were especially excited to be part of this church, when you felt energized and vital. What was going on? What contributed to your excitement? Who was contributing to that time, and what were they doing? He mentioned the Summer Olympics at the park. This was over in North Webster. The outreach in the neighborhood, the back-to-school stuff, and creating a partnership with Hudson. Next was, tell me a story about a time when you felt discouraged and your energy was drained away. What was going on in the life of the church, in your own life? What specifically happened, and how did that affect you? He kind of talked about the church bylaws sometimes need to change to meet the needs of those around them. Policies need to be more flexible. And he said benevolence first with our own family, church family. And that's about it. So those were the 12.
Those are good questions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So on the concept of duties as assigned, as elders, and we're hiring people, what's our expectation? And I am of the opinion that you're being called to ministry, and you're being called to serve in a family as kind of a parent of the family. And so sometimes you got to change diapers, sometimes you got to do laundry, sometimes you got to do dishes, and I don't feel that we should apologize for that. Now, I think we need to have boundaries. Mm-hmm. It's like, listen, you shouldn't spend all your time doing that, but I don't think we should say that those duties aren't part of what we expect, at least for me, that there's, you know, yeah, there's, you got to get your, you're going to get, it's going to get messy, mm-hmm. you know, and hopefully it's not all the time, but, you know, I think all of us, you know, pick up and do work as needed.
Yeah.
And so I think it's good to see, but I don't want to give the impression that, yeah, well, we will hide you from this. You know, this isn't part of what you're going to do. You know, I think Christ is our example of being a humble servant, washing people's feet. And so I guess I just wanted to say that I think it's going to happen, and I think it's going to continue to happen. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. I guess what I got from this is we got to remember when somebody comes on to prep them to, we're a small church, and we work together with things, and we see what needs to be done, and we either do it or get somebody to do it and take that on. That's kind of one of the things I got from this whole thing.
I agree with you both. Steve, do you have any, you know, you worked heavily with Jeremiah through that whole process. Anything else that would be helpful?
No, I don't think in terms of, you know, what Steve was mentioning, I think is pretty comprehensive. So. Mm-hmm.
And that's what I would echo too. So I've talked to Jeremiah a lot, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. both before him ever getting hired on for the place, as well as before, afterwards, and then mm-hmm. in my training, I guess, officially. And those are the things that I've heard echoed over and over from almost day one to now. So.
And he was here a lot.
Yeah.
I think sometimes this was his comfort place. He'd rather be here just
doing... At church, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't know that I really hear in there that he felt overworked.
No.
No.
Uh-huh. It's a funny distinction. He wanted to work in the areas where he wanted to work.
Yeah.
But he wanted children's ministry to be where he could focus all his attention.
Yeah. Right.
And it wasn't. Yeah. And it wasn't that he just wanted to do what he wanted to do. It was different because he wanted to do children's ministry 24/7.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And if it was outside of children's ministry or outside of Next Gen, let's say, he didn't feel that was where he should be at.
Yeah.
So even though he was a gifted singer, he was a gifted at lots of things that he did, those were not important to him, really. Those were just things that were extra. And I, Brett, I mean, I would echo you, and I spent 9 years as a missionary, and I know that I did anything and everything that made a church.
Mm-hmm.
So from cleaning, rearranging chairs, and we did that at Mid-County. So, I mean, I came and I felt right in, moving those chairs, smashing my finger in the door, whatever. It was all about making it happen. And that's where I feel that new generation, both at Edward Jones, here, wherever else, they struggle doing anything other than what they were hired to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where...
And I guess that's the point, is that we have when we hire them, they need to understand that very clearly, whether that's get communicated.
And, you know, again, just thanks to Steve and Steve for your mentoring of these young men. And I think ministry is also, it's an apprenticeship, right? You know, you can't learn it in a book. You just got to go, you know, hand in hand and learn it. And, you know, I think that's going to be doubly same for Ethan, you know, that... And we need to understand that when he comes in, that, you know, he's going to spend a couple years as an apprentice.
Which elder does it make sense? Assuming, I don't know, we're going to talk about Ethan here, but whoever we hire, we'd want an elder to work with them just like we've assigned one to be especially with Nathan and with Jeremiah or the new person we hire. And so... when we talk about Ethan here, I'd like to flesh that out a little bit too, because I don't think I can do that, but like, okay, who's in the position to do that? So,
okay, Don and Jeff, it's all yours.
Go ahead, Don.
So Jeff and I met with Ethan last Monday morning or Tuesday morning. I forget.
Monday morning.
Was,
yeah,
and went over the memo of understanding with him, and as I sent out in the email to you guys, I think it went very well. He received it very well. I mean, very comfortably. We sort of went through, talked about, you know, all the different areas, kind of just back and forth, just as he kind of would read through it and have a question. He asked Jeff some questions about, you know, some of the specifics of the day-to-day or week-to-week kind of work. And I'm trying to think of the specific areas, and, you know, like, for example, I wanted to be sure he had some experience with or understood the whole minister's allowance, you know, the housing allowances and how that affected. Was he aware of that? You know, was he going to be shocked, you know, when, you know, we started talking about a housing allowance or his Social Security situation? It seemed to indicate that he was somewhat aware of that. So hopefully he'll, you know, go back. He asked a couple questions about the health insurance, you know, we want to make sure he understood how that worked and how we covered. He asked if that was a stipend versus we just paid it, mm-hmm. you know, whether he would get,
I think it was a possibility of being on Sarah's.
Yeah, yeah.
And so how does that come out in the wash?
Yeah, so.
Yeah, we typically do not do that. It's there if he uses it.
Yeah,
right. And
I think Nathan gets married, there's more money there than he's using right now, but there's a limit to it.
Right.
So
I think he understood that.
Okay.
And I think he saw that as, you know, that there's a benefit, you know, mm-hmm. So.
He asked about office hours and what that looked like typically, and you know, what we thought the expectations would be for being in the office. And I think, you know, it's hard to say exactly where that's motivated. Lafayette doesn't come in to the office, so he's seeing one model out there. Mm-hmm. And then at the same time, I tried to say, you know, it doesn't mean you have to be in the office every day. He likes to take days of quiet days away to pray and study or whatever. But he said, I like to be in the office, really. But so he kind of said both. He would see it as would it be okay to see it as part of his work time to take a day away and go to, you know, someplace quiet and just be in prayer. And at the same time, his preferred place of study was, or place of work would be here at the office. So, very particular things that I would have never thought of asking. I mean, personally, for me, I don't know why. It was very, you know, those things were all very particular. Didn't you think,
Don? Yeah. Well, you ask about flex time. You know, you say if you know, he had to, maybe didn't mind, you know, doing something like on a Saturday or whatever, but would that, could he then maybe leave early on a Thursday?
Swap that out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, definitely not the same mindset that I, like a missionary comes from, you know, where I did in Connecticut and work, you know, you just like the problem we had, Jeff had, others, you know, it's boundary. We have no boundaries. Okay. So I don't know.
24/7 VBS for 2 weeks.
We can handle that, but it's been frustrated so much. I don't know. So this is very different from that.
Yeah.
And again, different personality profile. One of the things he did say then that I stoned Steve Autry this a little earlier today, I thought it was interesting. He said, you guys indicated fairly early on that I was a, you know, top candidate. And then it just took forever, this process. So he thought the whole process was really long.
You know, and I think I sensed that he felt like that there was some sort of conflict.
Right, that we couldn't decide.
We couldn't come to a consensus that he was the one. He said, well, was there somebody that
was
pushing back?
Yeah, that just didn't agree. That was the only way he could process how it could go from a breakfast in April until now hiring him in early July. You just couldn't our thought, we said, man, this is the fastest we've ever been. This is the fastest you ought to see some other topics.
Yeah.
we
told us that we intentially went slow so that we could we needed to bring the congregation in, you know, so we wanted to plan another weekend for him to come in and time for him with the congregation. And that takes time getting those dates on. But yeah, it was very interesting. He had a whole different perspective that maybe there was some real conflict.
And the ironic part of the whole thing is there wasn't any.
Well, that's what I told him. I said, yeah.
I can't remember many times we were just like totally unanimous so quick.
Yeah, right. I know.
But if you think about it from the professorship kind of thing, or even from the business world, you expect that within a month,
maybe you go through
the whole process,
yeah,
and you have a 5-minute time frame to decide.
Yeah.
And now he has a whole week or two weeks to decide. But the thing is that generally that's
it's
one
much
of the things. It's much faster. And
yeah,
I mean, Jeremiah's thing, whenever he was hired, yeah, Nathan was hired, they both were horrendously long.
Yeah.
When Michaela was hired, it was the same thing for all that whole process. I mean, I've gone through all of them. So I mean,
I guess we have a pattern.
I'm starting to get used to it. But for me, even, it's just the feel of it is just so long. But I don't know how to get rid of it. And that's like Sheree, that's why she got a job too, I think, because it was just like just feeling that there's something dragging, some reason why you guys aren't making movement towards the end. And maybe that's one of our downfalls.
I don't know
how to fix it.
I think the hiring process is different because the profession, the job is so different, right? So when you go to work for Edward Jones, or I went to work for Spire, my duties were in the office and outside the office. But the duties of a minister, man, it's almost like being a family member. You minister early. You're not just doing these duties, but you are actually involving people's lives, right? And so it's important that you understand that, is this a good mix for me? You know, I'm going to be with these people, you know, and pretty much, you know, for a good part of my life, right? And not only am I responsible for getting the duties and preaching on Sunday, but I'm responsible for pouring in people's lives and let people pour into my life, right? And I'm responsible for spiritual things and their long-term spiritual things, eternal things for them. I think the process should include opportunities for both parties to understand if this is going to be a good mix for that. You know, I personally, if I would want to know that if I'm in his position, that is this going to be a good fit for me, not only to do the duties, but to do those things that's related to, you know, spiritual development, me being a brother, or to these people, my wife being a sister, a mentor, all those things that you don't have in corporate America, right? And so I think the depth of involvement is so much deeper and so much more, you know, more tentacles than you would have in corporate America. But you're right, maybe there's a way of trimming that down and accomplish those things, but I think those things need to be accomplished some way in the process. I don't know how you do that, but you know, but there could be where it'll be a better way of doing that.
The other thing is back to the tenure question you'd had, how to make that tenure longer. The thing is, if we're gonna hire quicker, so maybe this is the issue that people are seeing from other churches, that they're hiring quicker, but then they're like, sorry, Steve, you are a horrible children's minister. You're
really
fired.
And
then sending him off.
If you use more of a business model.
Yes.
Yeah. But we also didn't feel like we had to be in a hurry because of what he was doing and just what he had.
His situation.
Even now, we're still pushing him to January.
Yeah.
Because he said he didn't want to start working until after July or August.
And I don't know what he was communicating to you. It could be that, you know, nobody wants to be, plan B. You know, was there somebody else and you just settled on me? Or,
well, that was the previous meeting.
Right, but is...
I think it was, and would I be walking into a situation potentially where I'm now being hired, but there are people who are already not so thrilled?
Right, and so that was
my point is that
if that's what it is, we need to make sure that we communicate that we are 100% the leadership, 100% behind him. There wasn't any detractors.
Yeah.
You know, all the leadership.
I think Don did a good job of putting that into words and saying that. Though I would say early on, we need to do it again.
Right.
You may need that validation.
Yeah, so that's not why it was slow, is that we were trying to.
Yeah, I tried to tell him totally unanimous amongst us.
Yeah.
I said, even we gave the church a couple of weeks of opportunity for feedback, not a single thing that was worthy of.
Yeah.
You know, any kind of concern, and so hopefully he came with that. And I guess I also should say, the last thing he asked was, he says, I just feel like I need to ask, he says, is there going to be anybody that's going to be leaving eldership
from this group
after I start?
Mm.
And I said, well,
I mean, I can't speak for everybody, but I said, personally, I feel like, you know, it's probably time for me to step down at some point, and probably within the next year or so. And I said, as we bring these new guys on, I think it's a great time. We're trying to bring in new things. So I think he was just concerned, you know, that there might be some mass exodus after we, or mass retirement or something after we.
We're all retired. He's heard so too. He can find new elders whenever he gets here.
Yeah. He's just heard a lot of stories out there. Yeah. Because there's a lot of those kinds of stories.
That's what I thought.
And we don't have that.
A couple of new elders come on board, and they have a different direction. And suddenly, they didn't hire the previous mentor.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
It's just all those kinds of things.
Boy.
It changes the whole dynamics and the leadership. And ministers hear those things.
So
we talk about them.
Don and Jeff. Did you give him 2 weeks? I think that's what we talked about.
July 9th.
Yeah.
Okay. So hopefully.
He said he didn't think he would take that long.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
But he said he'd appreciate that. And that's before the baby comes.
Yeah.
And might be before the baby comes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
And, but he
thought. It went well, though.
I did too.
I felt like but again, it's just understanding who he is important. For us, he's going to be very different from me. I mean, he was asking even after this last week questions like how does sick days work? You know, and he says, I'm going to have a new baby. You know, just I think he's got a lot going on, and he likes to know. Yeah. He likes to be in the know on these kind of details.
Be clear on
these things. Yeah. So I'll go to Elizabeth like, do we have a 6 day?
The culture has changed in several years, and I wish we could get back to the culture of you've been hired as a minister, do your work.
Right.
And the whole thing about flex time,
yeah.
that was foreign to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know.
And
is that something that we can do?
But he probably does that even now. Though.
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
It's generational.
All these people
want to work remotely, and they want to have their time, and it is becoming a stumbling block for the whole, country.
But it's also, I want to make sure that we don't base it on distrust. But we trust them. Say, this is your job. Get it done. If you have to work from home one day because your child's sick, that's fine. Do that. Mm-hmm. And just is that a dangerous culture to have?
I think you have to keep the trust fundamental.
Yeah.
But then I think that you have to have communication around what our. That's what, because I felt like even when we had the whole conversations done, there are things left unsaid and unexplored in those meetings with him that will need to be said or explored, because it's just hard. I think he'll have a hard time, given all the way he's asked all the questions, he's still going to have a hard time figuring out what is included in the role that he needs to do and what isn't on any given day. And it's not so much from the reactive stuff as much as it is the kind of proactive things that may need to be put into place, which unless you keep pushing, there's not time. Okay, time just goes for the week, and you're getting ready for Sunday, and your whole ministry then is taking care of the emergencies and getting ready for Sunday. I don't know that that's enough. And so how do you do, and so to your question, Dave, about the elder mentoring, those are the kinds of conversations that have to happen on a very, I think, consistent basis in terms of, what's going to help the kingdom here.
So to the elder mentoring, let me just throw this out. You're not an elder yet.
That sounded tricky.
Is that an ultimatum?
It seemed. I mean, we're of the same mind.
Yeah.
I'll just throw this out. Maybe he would be the one that would fill the role that Steve and I have done with the other staff members.
And I think he would be awesome. However, I think what we've heard is that.
Yeah.
Ethan needs to find his voice, and he needs to be free to find his voice. And I don't think that Jeff is the kind of person that will be overbearing, but I think we've heard that there is a risk. And I think, you know, I think we've said Ethan probably should maybe have a hand in picking this person, but I think there is some caution in having Jeff do that. And again,
yeah, that's right.
I, yeah. Nothing against you, but it's just, he needs to find his voice.
So yeah, we were pretty defined, I thought, in the MOU
that Jeff is
absolutely available to
him. We tried to define how we got, we tried to explain how we got to three different bullet, A, B, and C on that little document, to Ethan. And I think he understood what we were trying to drive to.
And so I think if there's this small multi-generational group, you know, if an elder's in that, maybe that accomplishes it, or that one-on-one. I was kind of thinking Don, because he's been doing that with Jeff as much as anybody, but
I was thinking the same.
Yeah,
I was thinking Don. I think the transition just makes sense.
That communication mechanism, reinforcing, and then his ability to choose a mentor.
Okay.
Help select a mentor that might be, you know, a remote person or who knows, an old professor. I don't know where that goes, but
He mentioned he had somebody that. Did he say he had a mentor or somebody that? I might have just dreamed that. Yeah.
So then, is this somebody we have to pay?
No.
Okay. That's kind of something Carson was hinting about.
There is a scenario that was enlightening to me that exists, but I guess it just depends on what you're really trying to get to.
Yeah.
Where, you know, if you got a young guy, you know, that is just overwhelmed, that's a good investment to have somebody come alongside that's, you know, going to be demanding for a bit. Mm-hmm. But
Cyber is set up as a pay for service type of thing, I guess, and that's something that's
ingrained a bit.
Yeah.
But I know even like Jim, who's the guy, Jim Martin?
Yeah.
At Harding Graduate School, you know, that's what he does as well. I mean, he's a professor at Harding Graduate School. Doesn't have anything to do with cyber.
Yeah.
Okay. But he does mentoring of ministers on the side. But he charges $150 an hour or something. I'm not sure what. Because I did one session with him during my sabbatical just to, you know, it was a good, just to try to understand how it all worked and all that sort of thing. So that's probably what Carson's referring to.
I do it with several youth ministers regularly, and I don't charge them a thing. Yeah. Oh, goodness.
You could have been hired a year earlier.
I know, man. Yeah.
But I want to get back
to the number on that, okay? I may not be.
You know, back to Dave's point, I do think there is value in Don Fitzgerald getting with Ethan regularly, just as a point person on that transition, just, you know, maybe not as a mentor, but, you know the players, you know.
The elder. And the advocate for him. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
I think that's good.
Okay, anything else on that? We'll keep moving.
I do think the admin elders in our meetings, he would be comforted to come to some of those, you know, whenever the time comes for that.
Mm-hmm.
There's all kinds of HR policy things that come up, or how are we going to do this or that, and that might, you know, be another resource for him to get answers. What is expected?
I do have something related to that. So I think one of the things we don't want to do with him is overwhelm him, right? We don't want to drop Jeff's responsibility in his lap, right? And so, but some of the things that we don't want to drop in his lap still need to get done.
Right.
And so I think we need to figure out what those things are and who's going to be getting those things done. I think that's important to understand that. The other thing, too, is that if we do hire a children's family minister before he's on board, okay, now we got an office without a real leader, you know, and so what are we going to do? You know, we need to be thinking about what that's going to look like, you know, especially a new person coming in, like a children's minister, family minister, he or she, I think we don't set them up for success if we don't have somebody that's there with them regularly, helping them to understand the culture and other different things, the nuances of the job that you only learn maybe by having a mentor there, like Jeff did for Jeremiah, you know, those things that come along with having your boss kind of walk you through some of those things. And so I think we need to think about what that's going to look like, right? And so And then the other thing, and this is probably a short list, and I'm sure it's missing things, is that the Next Steps program, like we got, God's blessed us to bring these people in, and they want to figure out, is this a good fit for me? When Jeff leaves, he's kind of heading that up for the most part. We need to have somebody that's going to take that role on so we can help people to, you know, take those next steps, right? Otherwise, you know, either they're going to be sitting in limbo or they're going to feel like, well, this is probably not what I want to do and find somewhere else. And so you know, it's almost like we will be neglecting them if they don't have something, you know, more formalized in place where they can begin to understand a little bit more about who we are. So that's a short list. And I think we got more things that we need to think about in terms of, you know, what that's going to look like as Jeff transitions out, you know, that we got to figure out how to backfill.
Yeah. And can we, at our next meeting, that be a main thing we talk about? Okay. And maybe us Vision Elders can get together and
put some... Yeah, that's what I was wondering. Is it the whole group or is it, could we do it in a, like I could start forming some things on that list.
Yeah.
Again, and then we could weed through them and say, well, he doesn't need to do that, or we got another way to do that, or we don't. But maybe the three of us?
Yeah.
Okay.
And do that.
Yeah, that for the next one.
We can bring it to the group.
Okay.
Because I agree, that time's coming pretty quick.
It's coming quick.
Yeah.
At least
my input into it will be shorter.
Yeah, we got 60 days, less than 60 days. We got less than 60 days before you walking up.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So we'll have two new members that'll be at our church at that point when Jeff retires, and they can probably help with that. We can just get them to help.
What's he talking about?
You and Becky. So
they'll
all be I'm sure you can help out with that.
Yeah. Okay, anything else on...
We've got this class called What's Next.
Okay, let's move to the next thing is Jeff's retirement reception update. I don't have much. I talked with Carrie, and I told her what the budget was. She was fine with that, and she's working, moving forward with that. She's been, is she back from Vietnam yet?
I don't know.
She's been in Vietnam. I was in Guatemala, so I'll get more for that. So, and she, I'm sure she's been working on some. Next thing is the preacher schedule here. Let me pass these out to you. You've seen this before, but people usually don't bring them, so more of this. And I have three things on this I wanted to bring up. Okay, first of all, I didn't want to move anything with this, number one, without you guys giving me the okay to move forward with it. Number two, didn't want to do it too early before we were focusing on Ethan and his dates coming. One thing I would like to, as far as prepping these people, I just, with the whole political situation, I would love to tell these people we want our church to be politically safe place for people to come, so you know they don't get up and preach on something political. You know, it could be our abortion or Israel or those things that we just I don't think we need that right now. One thing I thought, putting together some series, and as I was thinking about getting the Vision Elders, we can get together and brainstorm some of that, and just some topics instead of people coming here and there and everywhere with different things. Another issue, which is pay. I know I was thinking if it's a member, we don't have to pay them. If it's somebody that's not a member coming in, we pay them. I know we have disagreement about that, even with you two. So I want to discuss that. So let's discuss the pay first.
Well, I mean, I see a guy on here like Dale Robinson, and maybe, I mean, at the very least, I think pay their expenses, you know, reimburse them their expenses. And I certainly don't see a problem with having them to come away from their routines and come here for a weekend or whatever, giving them a stipend, I mean, of some sort. But I don't think we have to go crazy on that. And then the idea of like the Jerry Jones or Mike Root doing a series, I like that idea. Maybe we do that, seek that first to see if we can get them on the calendar
right,
for a 2 or 3 week
series or whatever. And
are they both local?
Yeah, they're both local.
And, you know, get those on the calendar. And again, I think for the reasons of pulling them away from a routine and all that, I really don't see a problem with a stipend of some sort. Mm-hmm. But it's just my thoughts. And then fill in.
Yeah, right.
After
plug the rest
get
of
some
them
of those.
That's what I was thinking.
I mean, if you get a couple series of 2 or 3 week series, you got 6 weeks there that they're taken care of, and then kind of we can fill in around it.
Yeah.
I'm okay with a stipend for someone outside the congregation. Yeah. It does seem like a reasonable place to draw the line where, you know, if we have members willing and able to step in, that's a service to the body.
Yeah.
And I think we create something we're not intending to create if we put dollars on that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Step up and here's a little tip or something. That's you just don't want to need to go there. We're just talking about the need to fill in and do a little bit of everything, and let's let people do that.
Yeah.
If they're members, that's kind of my. I embrace the way you said that.
Okay. Anybody else? So then, what would be the stipend?
I think we.
Jeff, what would be comfortable for you if somebody asked you to come preach a Sunday and just, you know, kind of interrupt? You have to plan around
your
schedule.
Yeah, you have to plan around it.
And you prepare. You got a lot of hours.
I mean, if they're local here, $350. If I had to go out of town, I wouldn't do it for less than $500. It just doesn't make sense. I mean, I already thought about this a little bit because I was wondering how the Seibert Institute works because they hire, you know, they have needs like this. But let's say you travel over to Kansas City or something. It just doesn't, for me, it wouldn't make sense to do that less than that.
I know Dale Robinson, he said sometimes they didn't even come, but they did a video and they charged $600. I was like, wow, he was feeling the same way.
That it was a lot, or
it was a lot just to do a video.
Just to do the video.
Video
for
sermon.
One of the Cyber Institute creatures.
Yeah.
To not be there in person. Yeah. Because then you're not even covering their expenses.
So we're marking cyber off the list of.
How do they keep coming up and never make our popularity list?
I feel like we have plenty without using them for sermon. Now, the church assessment thing is another thing I'd like to talk about later.
I was only mentioning cyber from the standpoint of, like, they would hire somebody like me to preach in Kansas City or Oklahoma City or Amarillo or whatever, because all these places need
Hope
churches.
Network can, also
and
does
so
that,
kind of looking at what the minimum amount was for, you know, how do they do that?
Yeah,
I was just trying to think through that number. So I just gave you a number off the top of my head.
Because it was 350, we got anybody 400, 300. what do y'all think for? Okay, so now with Mike Root, Jerry Jones, or two guys out in Dale Robinson are outside of our church. What do you think?
Whether that's a good idea or not?
No,
the price.
I mean, what's a good price? I'd like to leave here today with a price.
Yeah, I would think if they have series that they've done before. You know, I would think somewhere between 250 and 400 is kind of what I'm thinking. You know, it's like, you know, if they've got, you know, 3 or 4 series that they've done several times, they'd still have to prepare. But, and if they're local, you know, that's just kind of what's in my head.
So you're saying for a 3-week series, we pay them 400 for what?
Well, I was thinking for a Sunday,
for Sunday,
you know, something like,
got
you know,
I've
250 to, you know, 300, whatever.
It's
kind of what is in my head, and I don't know what's reasonable or not. But, if they've got, I've preached this before, I can do it, and I'll have to dust it off, and you can do it.
Okay, so 300, 350, or 400?
I'd like to suggest that we start on this side first rather than figuring out who we're going to hire and pay. I'm just, you know, we've got talent in this congregation that is willing to, you know, do that. And
you keep saying, you know, 300 here, 400 there, whatever. You know, we're not making the budget right now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're having these other expenses to take on. And I'm thinking it's time for the church to step up. I really feel that, you know, people on this left or side here should be the first people that we look at. And, you know, we're not, maybe it would be a little disruptive, you know, you'll have different people, you know, but I just feel strongly that spending money to hire people to come in to teach the church when the church is supposed to be, you know, teaching others.
But I think a Mike, especially a Jerry Jones, or Mike Root would be a, not just somebody we're bringing from out, it would be a great blessing because of all that they, their gifts and their knowledge.
Then when I asked you previously, was Jerry willing to come and do it for free? You said he would.
He probably would, but I don't want to do it for free. I want to honor him by, and he may not even accept it, but I think it's a good for us to offer him something to come in.
If we're going to ask him, then I think we need to make it. We need to be willing to offer that. Yeah. That's what I think. I guess.
So is that a stipend, or is it we're telling him he's getting $500? Let's say, or he comes for his three series, and we give him a $500 check at the end because we're honoring him.
Yeah.
So that there's a difference. So if we're offering it to him, and say, hey,
yeah, right,
we would like to pay you $500 to come do three Sundays. That's completely different than a stipend option, which is you give at the end as an honorarium to a point.
The only thing we've ever done is honorariums, except for Lynn Anderson. Right off the bat, Lynn said it's $500 a talk. Yeah. Okay, but this was back in the early 90s when he came and spoke over there.
Church of Nazarene.
Church. And it was kind of an eye-opener because that was 25 years ago when it was $500. You know,
I remember that.
So if you pay someone more than $600, you give them a 1099, and it's a tax issue for them. And so I'm comfortable with the 350 number, but if somebody speaks 2, 3, 4 times,
They're going to be,
you know,
they'll get a 1099,
And just be aware of that.
Yeah.
That's the way it would be handled.
Okay, so I'll throw out $300 and for those outside that would to come in.
$300 a Sunday for a stipend for those outside.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm just throwing that out. I want to move on.
That sounds good.
It's a good place to start. And if they don't, you know, if it doesn't work for them, though.
I think that'd be fine. Okay. Yeah. Does that work for you guys? $300?
Yeah. Work for me. Yeah.
And for non-members? Okay. And I do, you know, I understand what you're saying there, Brad, but I think to put something like this together, it's best to get the series people first. So we plug them in, and then we plug the ones. They're only doing a sermon, putting that in. And do we wait till Kaylin finishes to see if we ask her and Melanie? Or no, we already know what we're...
That might affect when we want them to speak, though. Yeah. Like, if it does end up being a problem, then we need to talk to people about it and get it sorted before we have them back up.
I won't be asking any of them until after this Sunday anyway.
The series, I've mentioned this before and we've talked about it. We said a while back that we periodically need to hear about tithing. And I think I would like the admin elders to spend a couple Sundays doing that. And I know we've talked about it before, but I do think, you know, it's been a while that, you know, if we can spend a couple Sundays on that, that'd be good.
Maybe from September 1st through December 29th.
Yeah.
And then we would actually give them stipends and then.
Yeah. Okay.
Give them a percentage of what they're
able
to do. So do I have y'all's go to start working on some of this? I won't do anything until after.
Put the batting order together.
Yeah.
Yes,
okay.
Sir.
I'd rather that we talk about what kind of series might we need.
Yeah. I was.
Then what's on their queue?
Mm-hmm.
If we're going to do that, let's see if we can meet a need. I've always been curious, Jeff. You've moved us from series to series, and that's, I've enjoyed that. And as a practical matter, I think that's a good tool, you know, as you manage, what are you not going to talk about every Sunday?
Right.
But what has helped you figure out that next series or two as you think through that? Because it's gone well, but
yeah.
what's your principles?
Probably mostly what I'm reading, what's important to me, okay, that I can see would be relevant to the church. I mean, that's like the fundamental. So that I'm reading something and I'm going, man, that creates kind of a little structure for a series right here. I mean, sometimes it's literally almost from a book or something, but other times it's like, man, we really haven't done an epistle in a long time. Or I'd like to, you know, once in my life I wanted to go all the way through Luke, which we, so I don't know, it's a little bit different. The fundamental principle is, I think, what's alive in the heart of the preacher. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense, I guess that's what I'm saying.
So
and then does that, now if they're going to come and talk about the four horsemen of the apocalypse, you know, I'm thinking, well, maybe that may or may not fit what the church needs for 4 weeks. Yeah. So I would, the second principle is this relevant to where the life of the church is right now?
Mm-hmm. Probably with Mike Root and Jerry Jones, I would say, give me about two or three series that you'd like to do.
Yeah, then you can.
And then I get them, bring them here, and we decide that.
All right, brother. Gotta go, guys. All right.
See you, Don.
How's your elbow?
Thanks, Don.
It still hurts like
I got an injection today on mine. It's killing me.
Getting close.
Yeah. Bunch of old guys. Okay, and I would like to, with the Vision Elders, if you have any series that you have any suggestions for, let us know. And then I'll probably want to put some of those thoughts together with you guys before I start asking other than the Root and Jones.
So I need to throw this out there, and I do this reluctantly, but the LGBTQIAA mm-hmm. community and some of the studying I'm doing, and I do think we'll keep talking about that and figure out what our body needs. And it has occurred to me that if we try to address that, assuming Ethan gets hired, and within that first year we're addressing that, that does him a disservice if people are suspicious where that's coming from. And so is that something we need to address ahead of time? That means before January. And I shake a little bit to just put that on the table.
Yeah.
But I feel like there might be some real wisdom in that if we're ready.
Yeah. I put that at the end. I don't think having a discussion as a point here about it is all that wise. I think we need to just have a Sunday or Saturday morning or some more extended time to discuss all of that.
Okay.
And so that's kind of, I didn't think this would be a good time to talk about it here now.
I just mean if we're laying this time
between
now and January,
okay,
is that an important item to,
I think that's,
to have occur?
I might say, Dave, I think your point's well taken about Ethan. Might also say that when we did the instrumental music study, not to make the two a lot akin too much, but we did it in a class.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And it was mostly elder-led, or it was an elder and one person. I think I helped complement the organization and the research and all that. But then, and I don't even remember who all did the teaching, but I remember I did a couple, but I remember Jeff Earnhardt doing a couple. And so it was mostly elder taught. And so if we did it in a class and we kept it, and it was a, it had discussion and it had here's where our hearts are and all that as a first start, then that seems like that would be maybe a better way to dispense this than it would be to try to think about it in terms of the Sunday morning preaching.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Yeah, that served us well with the women's roles and with the instrumental things.
Yeah.
And
so on that, I may have missed things. Is the order of operation that the elders would first have a position and then they would bring that out in a class or a sermon? I mean, is that what
we're... Okay. Yeah, I think we I think we all need to be not just on the same page, but be kind of grounded in where that comes from.
Mm-hmm.
Not just right. That feels right, or that's how I've always thought. It's we need a little bit of
right.
Mm-hmm.
grounding, right. And I'm not, you know, wanting to change a lot of things, but I do. It's been enlightening for me to read a couple books and some other perspectives, and want to share that. And you know,
this document I just passed out is really interesting. It's with the Rooftop Community Church on gender and sexuality, and the elders' statement. Again, you can take this home and read it.
Okay, thank you.
I thought it was pretty good, actually.
So I guess the other point, Dave, to your point about Ethan, there might be some value in him being in on the conversation prior to us doing the teaching, so he can help, you know, shape some of those ideas or come out of that, right? Some area where he can have some input and some thought and on it, and as opposed to when he come in, we've already got something laid out. You know, so he might want to be involved in the earlier stage as well.
And again, I think it is important that we, as eldership, are grounded and unified in this, and we talk through it. And I think we have an internal position. Maybe there's nothing published, but I think we need to have a strong internal position, and then we can talk about next steps. But I think we have to get there first before we do anything else.
Yep.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, that's that LGBTQ plus is a complicated thing.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. And it's kind of scary to me, taking a statement. We would lose some people.
Well, and I don't know what kind of a statement we have to take. If
right,
we can have one internally,
yeah,
and there's no need to poke the bear unless you need to, that...
Yeah.
You know, with the other positions, like on women's studies, something was going to change. Okay, all of a sudden there's a woman up there.
Yeah, yeah.
We're not changing anything. We are just going to define something so we are clear.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's a little different in that we are not going to take a positive step change on anything. Yeah. But we do need to have clarity internally
so
on that position.
It's more, you're saying it's more of a... making an intentional effort for us to understand together.
Right. So somebody says, hey, I want to get married here.
Yeah.
Right. Me and my partner.
Yeah.
And you know, well,
right.
we appreciate this and we've got a way to talk about that. Yeah. Or my daughter's got this issue or you know, going through these challenges. What do I do? It's like, well, we know how to talk about that. We know how to approach it.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, we're done. Anything else we need to talk about? When's our next meeting?
You're the boss.
So the 15th of July?
Again, I mean, I think it's the 15th if we elect to have one the second time, because I think the intention that we started back on at the beginning of this year was that second meeting was primarily for ministry leaders.
Okay.
And so... that's not a good, that's a good thing. Nothing is scheduled at this point. So if the question is that feel like the right, you know, it'd be good to get a couple, you know, a few of the ministry leaders in here. Are we in a reasonably good place?
So next week, hopefully, or earlier, we will hear back from Ethan.
Mm-hmm.
And what do we do? I'm hoping... You know, do we need to formalize anything with him? And then when or what do we communicate? And so I don't know if we need to talk about that.
That's
if you
one.
And Don know, okay,
yeah.
He comes back and said, this is great, or
yeah.
I've got questions about this and this. And then do we need a formal memo of understanding? Or, you know, what do we do? How do we communicate it? And so I don't know if we need to talk about that or just wait for you and Don to get an audible to say, yeah, maybe we need to get together.
With it being the middle of the summer, I would suggest let's not have the ministry leaders in, but reserve that if we need to meet to talk about the next step with Ethan and Sarah.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
I think so. And then if, again, there could be couple of points of negotiation that he comes back on.
Yeah.
What those would be, I don't know exactly. No, but won't our normal... offer letter then suffice, or do we need more definition around this? For what reason? I'm trying to think that through.
I think that offer letter's fine. The unusual part is the start date just being so far out, but really that's the only anomaly. Everything else can be spelled out, you know.
And would that be any different from the memorandum of understanding that we just gave him? Does that essentially function as the terms?
I'd have to look at that offer letter example to see if there's anything in there we didn't already cover. You know, something on letterhead,
yeah.
I think makes sense.
That's all I'm saying.
It's not an employment agreement.
Right.
But I do think let's take that offer letter and make that reinforcing once everybody makes their decision and get that to them. And then how do we communicate to the body and when?
Yeah,
I think that's important.
Yeah, so it probably does merit a meeting.
Okay, so we'll see about meeting, and maybe it can be a shorter meeting.
Talking about the Ethan. Yeah, next steps with Ethan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would lean toward meeting with that as the main agenda item.
Good job, Mr. Autry.
All right. Let's see. Nothing else? Ross, can you close this out?
Sure. Our glorious Father in heaven, we thank you so much for our church, for this, for the your people here, for this family that we have.
That's right.
And God, we thank you that there's Christians all over the United States and all over the world. We pray that wherever the person is that will be our children's minister, you help us find them, help them find us, and guide us to that right person and to treat them the right way and get them in so that they can become part of our family. God, thank you so much for Ethan. Help him to consider carefully and make a good choice. And be with our church this Sunday. Help people to be receptive and patient and loving. And that if there's any problems, help people to address those with love. And be with us throughout this week. Help us to keep our minds on you, God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
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 You were freed heart.